Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth, talking about the Bible, but talking specifically about the great Apostle Paul. What a missionary he was, what a servant of God, and we're tracing his steps on the second missionary journey. We've arrived at the city of Corinth, a dark place, a licentious place, and the Apostle Paul is making some inroads. He's developed some good friendships. He's discipling some faithful people by the name of Aquila and Priscilla. He's had some negative results, humanly speaking, with the Jews who have essentially rejected his message. But undeterred, the Apostle Paul is continuing to reach out to Gentiles. And he has taken up residence, as far as ministry is concerned, in the House of Justice, which is located next door to the synagogue. John, that just must have really ticked off these Jews.
It sure did. It is so interesting where Paul goes to. And it's interesting, as we read on in a minute here, who actually responds to the gospel.
Yes.
While he's there speaking to these Gentiles.
Yeah, and we're going to get to that. But I have to picture these Jews that were so upset, that called them all these names, that now every day that they go to the synagogue, or every time, I should say, they go to the synagogue, they're going right by Paul's new headquarters.
So sometimes, if we're not careful, we can place in our mind the idea of our cities today, or maybe a town today, and we may think there was a great distance between the synagogue and the house. But I suspect that this architecture would have been a lot like where we find, I know you've been to Capernaum, Pastor, and the house next to the synagogue is like right there beside it. And so it's not like half a mile away. It's right there where you can see it very clearly.
In the cities of this day, the walls were shared. So your home wouldn't have a separate wall. The outside wall would be the outside wall of the home next door. So the fact is, the language of the Bible is that they're sharing a wall with the synagogue, which is just so ironic to me. But let's look at what you referenced just a moment ago about who actually trusted Christ, because the Bible says in verse 8, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house." Now, what's so interesting to me, John, is that while Paul was in the synagogue, he had not made that decision. But Crispus, now that he sees the rejection of the majority of people that come to the synagogue, the Jews, and Paul's removal to the House of Justice, I don't know what it was about that whole episode, but it pushed Crispus over the edge to say, this is true, and I believe it. And his whole house got saved.
Yeah, this is very ironic, where Paul had a hard time with the Jewish people. But now, as you mentioned, and as the Bible says here, he goes and speaks next door in Crispus, trusting Christ. It's a great testimony of the work of God.
The ruler of the synagogue would be the person that would be in charge of just the mundane responsibilities in the synagogue, the keeping of the scripture portions, the seating, just the upkeep of the building, just all of that. It was his life. And we find in the Bible several examples of rulers of synagogues that are touched by the ministry of Jesus or the apostles. I think about Jairus in Luke chapter 7.
Yeah, Jairus was the one that came to my mind right away, and how God worked in his life. He thought all things were lost, and yet Jesus Christ brings his daughter back to life. What a great narrative we have there.
Yeah, and the fact that Jesus brought his daughter back to life was preceded by the fact that Jairus believed in Jesus, trusted Jesus, went to Jesus for his life's biggest problem, and we're finding that right here in Acts chapter 18. So Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So you might look at that episode of the Jewish denial of Paul's ministry and their overt response to Paul's message of the declaration of Christ as being very negative. But God used that very episode to cause Paul to give greater focus to the Gentile ministry, and that greater focus led to a huge harvest of souls.
And it's interesting, as we talked about in previous episodes, Corinth was known as a wicked city. You liken it kind of like to Las Vegas as of today in America. And people sometimes have the mentality, oh, that's a hard, sinful city. The gospel is just not going to prosper there. But you know, I have a couple of friends who have churches in Las Vegas today. They see people come to Christ all the time. They're thriving churches. And here Paul is preaching the gospel. And even in the wicked city of Corinth, God's at work, which reminds us in our life, don't give up on people that may seem to be wicked or towns, cities that may seem to be wicked. God can work in spite of how dark it is.
The darker the night, the brighter the light. We've heard it said that way. And 100% in the Bible, the people that generally came to Christ were people that could see their sin in the light of God's holiness more readily. The people that were the last to come to Christ, and many of whom never did come to Christ, were religious people. Yes. People that thought they didn't need it. People that thought they were above it. The fact that he's ministering in a place that's so overtly sinful, that's not bad news for the gospel. That's actually good news for the gospel.
I think when Jesus rebukes the Pharisees and tells them that the publicans and the harlots have justified God because they have believed what God said about them. But here these religious leaders don't believe God and they oppose themselves, as we mentioned earlier.
Verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So the fact that God would meet with the Apostle Paul in a vision and specifically encourage him at this moment tells me that things were volatile.
Yeah, sure does, Pastor. Reminds us that Paul was, you know, he was just a man. Sometimes we have the mentality that Paul was a super Christian, never struggled with anything in life, never got discouraged. But Paul was subject to maybe get discouraged about some things. It is instructive that God tells him to fear not. He says, Paul, fear not. You know, I have many people in the city, which reminds us, you know, there would have had to have been some people even in that city before Paul got there. Now, who they were, I do not know. Many people have trust in Christ, but Paul is there laboring, and God encourages Paul. It reminds me of other places in the scriptures where we see God encouraging people sometimes when they're going through great struggles.
You know, when you read between the lines of the Apostle Paul's ministry and the number of times he testified in his letters, you learn some things about the Apostle Paul that maybe you wouldn't see it at surface glance. For instance, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, to these very people, the Apostle Paul said, hey, there were some times here in Ephesus that we despaired even of life. So, I mean, there were times of grave depression that Paul dealt with. He said to the same church, he said, within were fightings, without were fears, or without were fightings, within were fears. So Paul dealt with insecurities, he dealt with depression, he dealt with fearfulness. I think about what he said to the church at Ephesus when he said, hey, pray for us that we would be bold. So he dealt with a lack of boldness, realizing I need encouragement and prayer in this area. So, I mean, I think you said it last episode, he was a man subject to like passions as we are.
You know, this is a great encouragement to us. We can see how God worked through Paul's life. But you said before, Pastor, how that we all are flawed people. None of us have arrived. We all have difficulties in life where God is working our life to conform us to the image of Christ. And I don't know today, listeners, maybe today you're struggling in your life with something that's happening there. Maybe you're discouraged or depressed even. But take heart, God is still in charge. God is still God. And God is working in our lives to conform us to the image of Christ. And God can use us mightily as we yield ourselves to him.
So he receives this vision in the night to encourage him to keep on keeping on in spite of the circumstances that are raging around him. Very similar to what Jesus said to Peter in his storm. You know, be not afraid, it is I. The same language, and this is a storm that the Apostle Paul is in, and yet you know, there's the Lord right with him in the storm. And I love what it says in verse 11, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So early on in his ministry at Corinth, he receives this encouraging word from the Lord, and that encouraging word spurred him to 18 more months of productive ministry.
You know, this is quite a fact in Paul's life that he stays there this long, because we know typically Paul is not at a place for a year and a half in his missionary journeys, and yet God's opened up a door, God has encouraged him, and Paul is staying there to preach the gospel and to see these people grow in Christ.
And I would just say very practically, godly encouragement goes a long way.
Sure does.
It goes a long way. And it's not that Jesus is appearing to people in the night in visions, but he's given us something even better than that. He's given us the New Testament, words that we can live by, words of encouragement that can perpetuate us in dark situations. And my friend, you might be in a situation right now in your life where you feel as if, wow, I mean, things have really heated up. I feel as if my gospel witness needs to be toned down because I'm in a scary situation. Hey, be encouraged by the word of God, which is no less valid today than it was when it was uttered to the Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago. And keep on keeping on, knowing that you have that same God with you.
It reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter encourages people to stay faithful, and he reminds them he was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw what happened there. That encouraged him, I'm sure. And yet Peter reminds him in verse 19, but we have a more sure word of prophecy going on, talks about the word of God and how the Spirit used that in our life today for fruitful ministry.
I'll close with this, but the specific area of encouragement that Paul received from the Lord about his future was, don't fear, no one's going to hurt you, I'm going to protect you, is what Jesus said. But then he said this, and I there are much people in this city. Do you see that in verse 10, where it says, I'm with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. In other words, Paul, don't be afraid, stay here. A lot of people are going to get saved. There's a lot of people that need the gospel.
That's a great encouragement to Paul to know that God is at work and God knows things he doesn't know, and he needs us to walk by faith.
And in ministry, let's not get our eyes on the blaspheming Jews that rejected us, or the group of people that we thought we were going to reach that rebelled against the message. We need to be thinking about, wow, there's a Priscilla, there's an Aquila, there's a Crispus, there's his household, and there are all these Gentiles that are coming to Christ, and there are many other people. And so, my friends, don't be afraid to go next door. Don't be afraid to go to the next block. Don't be afraid, because there's people that will hear the gospel from you if you'll just keep on being faithful. Thank you, my friends, for joining us today. Looking forward to jumping back in next episode. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.